The leader of the world's second biggest economy sets out his vision of the Chinese dream.
中国特色社会主义 进入新时代.
Socialism with Chinese characteristics in this new era means that China has become a great power in the world.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. More than 2,000 delegates singing the Chinese national anthem at the start of the Communist Party's 19th National Congress in Beijing. It takes place behind closed doors, but it sets out China's economic and political vision. And what happens in China impacts all of us. The BBC's Robin Brandt in Beijing told me more.
It's a key part of his leadership, really. And what it is trying to revitalize, rejuvenate China, get it back to the global economic powerhouse, the global leader it was before the mid-19th century, when it began to suffer this kind of century of humiliation. In the modern era, it means a richer China. We're getting towards a moderately prosperous China. It means a more assertive China in terms of its geopolitical status, its military, its influence, particularly in Asia. And it also means a China, certainly under President Xi Jinping, rejecting some Western values.
Economically, growth is slowing. China needs reform. It's not moving as quickly from the old manufacturing economy to the new sort of cleaner economy. Did he elaborate on those issues?
It's a question of how they manage that change. Do they do it with a sense of stability, particularly when it comes to reforming some of these state-owned entities, these behemoths that the government uses in coal, in steel, in rail to try and control the economy? If they can reform those, move people from some of those jobs, cut down on their inefficiencies, move them to other areas of a new economy in a stable way, that will be crucial for him.
And not just how they manage that change, but who manages it? Because at the end of this party congress, new leaders will be put in place.
We have this body at the top of the Communist Party, currently seven men, and it is always men. Five of them will retire to be replaced by, well, will it be allies? If that is indeed the case, that will not just consolidate his power, but it cement his power and maybe give him the extra power that he needs to make perhaps some more radical changes going forward.
Robin Brandt in Beijing. Let's do the numbers. China's Hang Seng Index closed up 14 points or 0.05%. Meanwhile, FTSE 100 listed Rio Tinto shares are lower after two former executives were charged with fraud. We'll tell you more about that after the break. But we talked about the Chinese dream of upward mobility. That is not the case for everyone in China. The BBC's Ed Butler has more.
Here on the streets of Shanghai, you can see the transformation that's taking place. In just two or three decades, a largely rural Chinese population has transformed the country into the world's second largest economy. But the rural population who came to the cities and led that change don't have the same rights as locals.
I'm a bad sale.
You're a bad sale?
I have no market.
One place to witness this is here at Shanghai's Marriage Market. It's populated by dozens of elderly women and a few men, marriage brokers, mostly displaying opened umbrellas. They're adorned with the details of young, lonely hearts. Alongside me, local unmarried journalist Yan Ma says that here, her lack of legal residency is a big problem.
I have no house, I have no cars, and I have no Shanghai hukou.
Yan told me more about how this decades-old hukou system worked.
Hukou is the registration document you get when you were born. I don't have the hukou here, so I can't purchase any houses here. And even if I have a children here, my kid won't be able to be educated here in Shanghai.
That makes a huge difference to people's lives.
Yes, especially in the marriage market.
Hukou is basically functions as China's apartheid system.
The writer and social commentator Zhang Lijia, she told me how the system came about.
Hukou was introduced under Chairman Mao in the 50s. At that time, more than 70% of people lived in the countryside. So it was designed to prevent a large number of farmers to come to the city.
Why do they keep that system?
I can understand why there's certain management, you know, control. Beijing could easily become Delhi with the slums. But the gap between rural and urban is widening. That's the dark side of the reform opening up.
In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Australian mining company Rio Tinto and two former executives have been charged with fraud in the US and UK. UK regulators imposed their biggest ever fine, more than $35 million, saying the company covered up massive losses from mines in Africa. Howell Griffiths in Sydney has more.
In 2011, Rio Tinto bought mining assets in Mozambique for $3.7 billion. 3 years later, they were sold off for just $50 million. The company, its former chief executive and chief financial officer have all been accused of failing to warn investors about problems with the assets. It's claimed the company soon realised there was less coal and it was of a lower quality than anticipated. Rio Tinto and its two former executives have all denied the allegations, with the company saying it will vigorously defend its reputation.
That was Hal Griffith in Australia. Finally, when your country faces 80% unemployment, sadly, any job will do. In Zimbabwe, more than 50 men and women have applied for the job of hangman. The position has been vacant since 2006. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.